The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And the disciples kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It throws him into convulsions until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. Everyone was amazed at all that he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As we stand, let us pray. Fulfiller of the past, promise of things to be, speak through my words, and in our own lives may we see your glory. Amen. Please sit down. I want us to think this morning about the things in our lives that transform us, that take us out of ourselves. I want us to think about the transformative experiences we have, sometimes experiences lasting long periods of time, like maybe the formation of a relationship or the learning of a skill or an area of knowledge. Sometimes transformations that occur in an instant, as suddenly the world seems different and we know that we have been changed. I want us to think about the ways in which experience like these, transformative experiences, bring us closer to experience of God and are what you might call threshold moments, moments of transition, when we go from being one person to being another person, a different person than we were, because we have seen or understood or felt something that has transformed us and that we cannot, however hard we try, really forget. It's a good time to be doing this in the middle of concerns about the complexity and meaning of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. We need to be reminded of another aspect of life than the troubles of managing our government. We need to be reminded of a different and more graceful world that we inhabit at the same time that we inhabit the one that impinges on us every day through the angry voices on the radio and television and the yelling headlines of newspapers. So, what things in life transform us with joy? What are the joyous things in which we forget ourselves. We will each have our own different specific examples, obviously, and different things will have been transformatively joyous for us at different stages of our lives. But our reading from Exodus gives us some examples of these kinds of things. For example, Moses loved mountain climbing and hill walking. Many of us, too, will enjoy or have enjoyed hill walking, and some of us maybe even climbing mountains. It's steep on the way up, and sometimes we might get out of breath and need to stop to catch our breath. But the view from the top is exhilarating. You see things differently from up there. And when at the end of the day you remember how you climbed the hill, it seems like it was one whole event, one thing you did, something that took you out of yourself and helped you forget the efforts and difficulties of work or other responsibilities you have, at the same time as helping you to put them in perspective. Another way in which we forget ourselves and get transformed with joy is when we're speaking with our friends. Moses loved speaking with his friends. He loved speaking with God and with his fellow Israelites. Peter, James, and John loved speaking with their friend Jesus. And they saw Jesus' joy as he engaged with his friends, Moses and Elijah. In fact, we're told Moses enjoyed speaking with his friends so much that it made his face shine. I think we know what it means to say that Moses' face was shining, because we see the faces of people we know light up when they are properly engaged in a joyful conversation. Those of us who are teachers or who have taught in any context will know that communication and engagement in learning also takes us out of ourselves as we share something that we have understood and are glad to understand. It delights us to communicate knowledge and wisdom and truth and to encourage understanding in others. Moses, too, loved to teach, and that's the way the Israelites saw that his face was shining. We forget ourselves also when we have something really to focus on. A book we're reading, something we need to write, but also a task we have to achieve methodically and systematically. This is an example of a transformative experience that can last a long time, but which we can see is in some ways a single process. Focusing on things that we need to do takes us out of ourselves. Jesus had something totally transformative to accomplish in Jerusalem, and our gospel reading marks the moment he committed himself to it. We forget ourselves too when we are faced with the needs of others, like the needs of the epileptic child Jesus heals in the second part of the gospel reading. We devote ourselves to the needs we see in others and the need that we see they have of us, and we do it gladly, even joyfully. We forget ourselves in moments of overwhelming relief as well, in the sheer relief of the passing of a concern or a horror. The father of the epileptic child will have been very greatly relieved that his son is no longer mauled. What a word to use, that his son is no longer mauled by his own epilepsy. And of course, we forget ourselves when we go to church. Moses, too, loved going to church, or in his case, into the tent of meeting. But for us, that place is here. This is our tent of meeting, like Moses had his. We come together as in the tent of meeting, as in the upper room, and we forget ourselves in a time out of time as we sing and we pray and we celebrate and we give thanks. And our everyday time has a new meaning because we've been here sharing this time out of time together. Because we do forget ourselves, don't we, in the experience of what you could call the numinous, of the mysterious and of the divine. We forget ourselves in the experience of the unexpected that brings grace and brings a sense of strength and belief and understanding. This is something I hope we can experience every time we come to church and every time we worship together. In one way or another, we are all charismatics. I mean, for example, this is something we experience every time a prayer comes to us as if from nowhere, every time a word comes to us that we need but couldn't place. And I mean, this is something we experience every time the meaning of a story from the Gospels strikes us and a new shape to things is sketched out for us in our mind's eye that actually does transform our view of the world to show how our world can be a theatre of grace, a celebration of forgiveness, and how love can be incarnate. For example, maybe this is when the density of the passion narratives to which we now turn as we turn towards Lent. Maybe this is when the density of the passion narratives strike us with what feels like fresh power. Because they are inexhaustible, and I think no one could reasonably tire of hearing them read or of reading them. Maybe this is when one of the resurrection narratives is read, and we see how Jesus is in his very being, forgiveness and love and relationship restored with his friends and followers, as we hear the authority and we hear the honesty and what you could call the tender majesty with which those resurrection stories are told. And maybe this is when a parable lifts the veil for us on Jesus' own understanding of God's boundless love for us and for all creation. God is, as I've said before, besotted with us. Or when a parable reveals with new clarity the way we should be living, what the rules of the game of life are, with a capital L. And maybe, and this is where our gospel reading of the Transfiguration comes in, maybe this is when we get a sense of how people saw Jesus who knew him and what he meant to them. This morning's gospel reading offers one of those moments, one of those parts of the gospels which transforms our understanding and can hopefully lift us out of ourselves. It offers us a moment in which we are seeing Jesus and his significance through the eyes of Peter and James and John. When we hear the story of the Transfiguration, we see with them how he is the fulfiller of the past and the promise of things to be. Someone who transforms the world in which they live and we live with healing and truth and beauty and love, and offers a way to understand and know God more immediate than could have been imagined before. Amen.